Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshvardhan Dole from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Greetings, everyone. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome you all to the first quarter FY24 earnings call of BPCL. To discuss the performance of the quarter gone by, we have the senior management team of BPCL, represented by Director Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, ED Corporate Finance, Mr. Pankaj Kumar, CGM Corporate Treasury, Mrs. Srividya V., DGM Pricing and Insurance, Chanda Negi, and Senior Manager, Pricing and Insurance, Rahul Agarwal. I would hand over the call to Rahul for the opening statement, subsequent to which the call will be open for Q&A. Over to you, Rahulji.
Thank you, Mr. Harsh. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you all to this post Q1 result con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we make during this con call are based on our assessments of the matter, and we believe that these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Since this is a quarterly result review, please restrict your questions to the Q1 results. I now request our Director Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rahul. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Hope you are able to go through our results for the quarter gone by. We are pleased to share that BPCL has registered highest ever quarterly EBITDA, highest ever profit after tax, excluding the exceptional items, and highest ever total equity during quarter one. The data of economic indicators shows that almost all sectors have recovered and are in line with or already crossing the pre-pandemic levels. World Bank and OECD have nudged up the global growth forecast for 2023. India's economic growth is expected to range bound between 5.5%-6.5% for financial year 2023-2024. In the recent S&P Global Ratings outlook, India is projected to grow at an average of 6.7% for the next three years, and growth forecast unchanged at 6% for this fiscal year, projecting a sharp bounce back to 6.9% in 2024-2025, 2025-2026. Sales of automobiles recorded a massive growth of 10% year-on-year. Passenger vehicle sales grew by 9.4% and crossed pre-pandemic level. Commercial vehicle sales dropped by 3.3%, however, the same is about 2019 levels. Coming to BPCL performance for the last quarter, we recorded a stellar performance on both physical and financial parameters during this quarter. The throughput for refinery stood at 10.36 MMT for the quarter one, compared to earlier quarter. It is significantly higher than the nameplate capacity, which was around 115% of capacity utilization. The distillate yield was 84.09% during this quarter, compared to quarter 83.87%. During this quarter, we could process high sulfur crude of around 76% of the total crude throughput, against 73% in the last quarter of previous year. The capacity utilization for PDPP, that is our petrochemicals complex at Kochi Refinery, which was around 70% during this quarter. BPCL GRM for quarter one is $12.64 per barrel, all three refineries put together, as compared to $20.58 per barrel in Q4 of FY23. On sequential basis, there is a reduction of GRM due to the mainly reduction of the cracks. The drop in GRM is mainly sharp correction in fuel cracks, with higher supplies and global macro headwinds during quarter one. The HSD Singapore cracks fell down to $15.5 per barrel in Q1, from $28.2 per barrel in Q4 of FY23, and MS Singapore cracks were at $12 per barrel in Q1, from $15 per barrel in Q4 of FY23. When we compare quarter one of current year with quarter four of last financial year on sequential basis, the Indian basket of crude oil has decreased to 77.7 $85 per barrel from $80.52 per barrel, and the rupee has been hovering around 82 per dollar. During the quarter, BPCL has registered healthy growth in core retail fuels by gaining a market share of 0.20 and 1.82 in MS and HHD respectively among PSUs. Consequently, the main products MS, HHD, ATF, CNG registered a growth of 6.1% in MS, 6% in HHD, 14.2% growth in ATF and 19.7% growth in CNG during this quarter as compared to Q1 of 22-23. We estimate that retail MS demand growth will similar lines for the entire June 23-24 financial year. HHD demand in urban markets likely to witness relatively slower demand than the rural and highway markets due to a little bit transition is happening towards CNG. We plan to add around 1,000 new retail outlets during FY23-24, and during quarter one, we have added 111 new retail outlets. We have recently approved major projects with a capital outlay of almost 50,000 crores during this quarter, mainly Petchem project at Bina Refinery, some pure oil facilities at Rasayani, and there are some wind power projects around 50 megawatt into two in Madhya Pradesh and Maharashtra. In line with BPCL commitment for net zero at scope 1 and scope level emissions by 2040, our renewables team has taken multiple projects. BPCL has a total installed renewable energy capacity of 46 megawatt as of date. We have projects in progress of around 60 megawatt, and recently we have announced two major projects of 50 megawatt each in wind. We have signed multiple MOAs with Solar Energy Corporation of India and various state governments for development of RE projects. In keeping with its vision of comprehensive energy provider, BPC intends to turn its all ROs into complete energy stations with provision of charging stations at its 7,000 ROs by 24 December. Currently, we have 747 EV charging stations and 13 battery swapping stations. The thrust is to provide charging stations at highways and cities prioritized by Government of India. BPCL has adopted a highway fast charging corridor model with provision of fast chargers, either 30 kilowatt per hour or 60 kilowatt per hour at every 100 kilometers on both sides of the highway corridor. 80 such corridors are operational till date. We plan to set up around 400 such highway corridors. Under gas business, BPCL has emerged as a successful bidder in 25 GAs. We, along with our JVs, hold 29.1% market share in terms of sales in the CGD sector of the country and would be investing approximately 48,000 crore over the life of this JV. And around 15,000 crore we are going to spend in the next 5 years for making it operationally viable in the next 5 years for the CGD sector. Construction in our GAs is in full swing, and we have completed almost 13,742 inch kilometer of steel pipeline in our geographical areas where we got authorization under various CGD bid rounds. Commercial sales have been started in 16 GAs. We currently dispense CNG in 1607 retail outlets, and further by the financial year end, we aim to add another 500 CNG stations in our existing MS and HHD retail outlets. We have recently issued advertisement for 14,273 new retail outlets spread across the country for capturing more markets and increase our presence. Under non-fuel consumer retailing, currently we have around 300 in and out stores. In line with our focus to expand non-fuel consumer retailing in urban and rural markets and set up an organized retailing ecosystem, we have commissioned around 120 retail rural stores in June, and will be increasing 1,000 stores over a period of time. In terms of petrochemicals, recently we have announced a large petrochemical complex at Bina with additional impetus to the petrochemical segment in future. We plan to set up ethylene cracker, HDPE, LLDPE units, polypropylene units, along with other downstream petchem units at Bina Refinery, and undertake refinery expansion from 7.8 MMTPA to 11 MMTPA. The refinery expansion is mainly for availability of feedstock for petrochemicals. On account of this project, additional petchem facilities of approximately 2.2 KTPA will come on stream by 2028. Gross capital expenditure of the project is 49,000 crore, including the GST. If we remove the GST component, the net project cost will be around 43,000 crore. For Q1, the revenue from operations stood at 128,257 crore. The profit after tax stood at 10,551 crore. During this year, we have a capex target of around 10,000 crore for the financial year 2024. We have spent about 1,464 crore in Q1. Our gross borrowings have significantly improved compared to 35,855 crore as on 31st March 23 to 27,939 crore, which is only gross borrowing. We are excluding the lease obligations amounting to around 8,800 crore. The debt equity ratio as on 30th June is at 0.45 as compared to 0.69 at the end of Q4 of FY23 on gross borrowing basis. On consolidated basis, with respect to Q1 revenue from operations stood at 1,28,264 crore, while profit after tax stood at 10,644 crore. Recently, our board has approved the proposal for raising capital up to an amount of not exceeding 18,000 crore for achieving energy transition, net zero, and energy security objectives. This capital will be raised by way of issue of equity shares on right issue basis to eligible equity shareholders of the corporation as on the record date. I now invite for questions and for any clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, in order to ensure that the management is able to address all questions from the participants in this conference call, we request you to limit your questions to one per participant only. The first question is from the line of Rajesh Aynar from ITI Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible. We can hear.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is around the retail fuel prices and our approach for the same, because last more than 1 year has been an extraordinary time in the history, and we have seen a lot of ups and downs, more downs on the oil prices shot up, and we couldn't raise it proportionately, obviously, because of consumer interest. Now that the a large part of the recoupment of whatever losses we had made earlier has been done, what's your take on the future retail fuel prices, and when would, let's say, normalization would start? How is the company looking at these things?
Yes, I agree. Some of the losses what we have incurred in the marketing of last year, some of the losses we have recouped during this quarter. But we cannot entire losses of marketing we could not recover in this quarter. One is on that said. Second is the market trends. If you see, the prices of crude is not yet stabilized. When we see the crude prices will hover around $75, then for a long term basis, if we foresee the crude is at around 75 level, still we can think of anything. But otherwise, still the crude prices have started going up. Recently, in the last couple of days, the crude has gone up to 82, 83 levels. We have to wait and see how the crude prices will stabilize, then we can take a call on the pricing side. But as on date, whatever losses of under recoveries of last year, oil companies, at least for BPCL, we are not fully recovered 100%. We have to wait and see how the crude prices will move, how the cracks will move. Accordingly, we can take a call in future.
Sir, any possible to give any timeline? Because of course, all losses may not have been recouped, but a large part of it would have been done, and even the refining margins have been strong and supportive for us for the refining division. So to some extent, there will be some compensation from that side as well.
So that is what I'm trying to say. We have to wait and see how the crude prices will move. Just it has started moving up. Now it is around 82, 83 level. The Brent crude is there. So we have to wait and see for some more time. If we get a full clarity on the crude price movements, so then we can take a call.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for this call and congratulations on good set of numbers. So I have one question. This is pertaining to this rights issue of 18,000 crore. So this 18,000 crore is part of the I think it is like somewhat influenced by the 30,000 crore of capital support which the government has announced during the budget. So it's been mentioned it's both for energy security as well as energy transition. So if you are like raising, I mean, the objective of this, right, I know you've not given the details, but can you give us some sense on how the allocation would be on energy transition versus energy security?
Yeah, two parts in your question. One is whether it is a part of 30,000 crore or not. Yes, definitely it is from the budgetary support what they have announced. So the money from Government of India infusion comes from that budgetary support only. Second is this particular rights issue we are proposing towards three objectives. One is our net zero ambitions and net zero aspirations. The second is energy transition related, and third one is energy security. Energy security is mainly wherever we have exploration blocks. So India as a country, we are short in terms of energy related crude oil and other things. So definitely we need some more investments for getting this energy security, for putting more money in exploration side. Second is energy transition is our investments towards energy transition is mainly for CGD business. And second is to put some more money in the electric vehicle charging stations, and mainly for alternative fuels, for example, biofuel, CBG, and related investments, so we need this particular money. Accordingly, allocations individual project-wise, when you see our total ambitious capex target for next 5 years will be around 1.4 to 1.5 lakh crore. Majority of the capex requirements are for these three objectives. One is net zero and energy transition and energy security related. Most of the 18,000 crore rights issue proceeds will be allocated towards these objectives. Individual project-wise, we are working on it, how much money we have to allocate to individual projects. We will come back and we will announce at the time of filing our application what allocation for what type of projects we are going to do.
Right, sir. Thank you. Just a small follow-up. So energy security means it is like the normal capex only. It includes everything, right?
Right, right.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Amit Rustagi from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. My question relates to BPCL refining margin, Mumbai refinery. Why the margins were so low versus Bina and Kochi?
Yeah, if you see our Mumbai refinery configuration, they are a high sulfur percentage will be low. They can process low sulfur grades will be on a higher quantum and high sulfur grades will be at a lower quantum. Second, even if you see the combination of crude processing in Mumbai refinery, the Russian crude composition will be lesser in Mumbai refinery as compared to Kochi refinery and Bina refinery. In other two refineries, you can take a maximum of crude around 45 to 50% of Russian grades and high sulfur grades. So during this quarter, if you see the high sulfur grade, the commercial pricing side, if you see, there is a good benefit in processing of high sulfur, mainly for Russian grades. So that is one reason. And second, during this quarter, a small technical reason, so non-availability of hydrogen, sufficient hydrogen, we could not process some quantity of production. That will have a small impact only, but otherwise the major impact of Mumbai refinery margins are mainly processing of low sulfur grades than high sulfur grades.
Okay. Sir, so can we say that majority of the difference is because of the Russian crude between the two set of refineries, like Bina and Kochi?
Directionally, the major contributor for this differential is Russian grades.
Okay. And sir, could you explain us the LPG mechanism? Because this 30th June, you have made a comment about LPG. So what exactly is the total, is still recoverable on account of LPG from the government? Any numbers on that?
Yeah, we have disclosure in the results. Once again, I will repeat. As on March 23, we have a negative buffer of around 850 crore. So during this quarter, entire 850 crore, we have recovered and part of revenue from operation we have shown due to the good favorable pricing, good favorable prices of LPG. As on 30th June 2023, there is no negative buffer. Whatever available is a positive buffer only, which we have not recognized in the revenue from operation. Otherwise, on a cumulative basis, as of 30th June 2023, there is no negative buffer. for LPG.
Okay, okay, got it. And sir, third comment on the CNG side. So I think
sorry to interrupt. Sir, may we request that you return to the question queue?
Sure.
There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemang Khanna from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you're audible.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. I have a couple. Firstly, for the Mumbai refinery, what would be the total share of the Russian crude sourcing which was done in this quarter? And secondly, could you please reiterate what was the overall utilization for the Petchem project in this quarter? And how much was the GRM benefit, if any?
One is Mumbai refinery, we cannot give exact number in terms of the Russian crude composition. In fact, Russian crudes also, we have two grades. One is low sulfur as well as high sulfur. But overall, directionally, compared to other refineries, the Mumbai refinery cannot process Russian crudes much beyond around 20%. So out of 20%, a good amount of crude has been processed in Mumbai refinery. But compared to other refineries, the Mumbai refinery can process very significantly lower quantum of Russian crudes. Second is, in terms of PDPP performance, the particular units have been stabilized to a large extent. During current quarter also, the units have been operated around 70%. In physical parameters. And the GRM contribution, this quarter, the petchem margins are not comparably high as compared to other previous periods. Roughly, the GRM contribution on account of PDPP will be around 0.4 to 0.5 per dollar per barrel this quarter.
And sir, going forward, we retain our guidance.
Sir, there are participants waiting for the answer.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varatharajan Sivashankaran from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
That's an opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, your audio is not clear. May we request you to use the...
Is it better now?
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. So what is the refining inventory loss, if you can give us a number?
Yeah, we'll provide separately.
Mr. Varatharajan, Rahul this side. We don't publish refinery inventory gain and loss.
Marketing inventory losses already we have provided. Refinery, we have not worked out separately anything.
Okay. Sure, I'll come back on that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A very good morning to you and the entire team at BPCL. Sir, firstly, I would like to congratulate you. I mean, it's been absolutely a splendid quarter. In fact, I'll just take a few minutes. You've actually reported what annual profit you used to make. You reported a quarter. Now we understand, of course, this has been, for whatever happened last year. And sir, it's very heartening to know that, when you said that, we've not recovered last year's losses. So, sir, my question is not to do about any refining or marketing. But my question is more generic, right? Because, today as investors, obviously it is completely disheartening to see the market cap of BPCL trading at where it is, right? So obviously, the market is basically lacking confidence and investors are not enthusiastic about, the prospects, right? So if you can just spend a few minutes and basically reassure markets that, profitability is the key focus which the government is concerned on oil marketing companies, that will basically, go to re-emphasize confidence among all the investors, right? Because we are also doing a rights issue, which clearly goes to show that, we are obviously, interested in increasing our equity, etc., right? So, overall, what I see is the government has done is extremely positive, but, unfortunately, it's not been recognized by market, right? And, being management, you can give confidence to markets and reassure markets that, the government of India is obviously concerned on the profitability and obviously that they want these companies to be very prosperous, right? So if you can just spend a bit on that, it'll go a long way in reassuring markets and investors, sir.
You may be aware this quarter results, it is nothing but a reassurance to the market only for the shareholders, right? And prospects, if you see on two sides, you have to, one is on the physical side, how efficiently our company is running. From the refining side, you can see the refinery capacity utilization is much more than 115%. We have crossed the pre-pandemic levels and all three refineries are running at full swing.
and 115% capacity utilization are the small things. Second, the yields have been improved at 84% levels. And all the refineries, when low sulfur grades gives a good commercial sense, our refineries have taken a challenge, and both the refineries, Kochi refinery and Bina refinery, their low sulfur production throughput is much higher as compared to any other refineries. So these are the positive indicators in terms of the efficiencies of our operation. And secondly, on the marketing side, you see the volume growth is almost 8% compared to the previous quarter. So these are the good indicators and reassuring our operational ability to give good assurance to the shareholders. Comes to the pricing, it's all market environment. For example, it depends, totally depends on the what is the outlook of the crude, what is the outlook of the cracks. Sometimes, yes, on a temporary period of time, the margins may be squeezed a little bit lower side. But one has to see on the longer period of time, and over a period of time, longer term basis, whether the company can make good amount of margins or not. Yes, I am sure. We can ensure for a long term basis the margin should be generated.
Okay. But sir, if I can add in here. So, you know, earlier when you started, you said that, you know, we have not recovered, you know, because obviously one thing is that, you know, we didn't make money last year, and normally, you know, we make about 10,000 crores annually, right? So if you see that way, you know, we have a long way to go and catch up. So is it safe to assume that, you know, there's going to be no price cut? Because, I mean, the only thing, you know, people talk about, abhi to OMC price cut karega because, you know, elections are around the corner. So that, you know, that kind of thing has to change, right? So if you can just give some more clarity on the pricing, then, you know, that will go a long, long way, you know.
But at this point of time, we cannot comment anything on the price cut. We have to wait and see how the crude prices will behave. If we feel the crude prices will stabilize at this level for a longer period of time, then we can take a call. But at this point of time, crude is fluctuating from 75 to 85. We are not sure whether it will stable at 85 level or it will go up to 90 level. We have to wait and see for a more period of time.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a strong set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to understand a little bit more on the petrochemical capacity and expansion that you have planned. If you can kindly give some details in terms of the exact capacities planned and the kind of inputs that will be used for this project, whether it will be based on naphtha or gas or ethane, you know, any details on that front plus timeline. That was my question.
First, already we have one petrochemical complex at Kochi refinery. The capacity is around 329 TMT per annum. And the recent announcement of petrochemical complex at Bina refinery, this is mainly commodity petrochemicals with a capacity of 2,200 KTPA, consisting of four major product categories, HDPE, LDPE, and polypropylene, and with downstream other petrochemicals. The total capacity of output of petrochemicals will be around 2.2 KTPA, and little bit of normal petroleum products it will give, along with capacity expansion of CDU from 7.8 to 11 TMT, MMT. So with this 2.2 KTPA plus existing capacity of 329, we'll be having around 2.5 MMT of petrochemical size in our basket. Once after the completion of this project, our petrochemical basket will be around 2.5 MMT around. That is what we are aspiring by 28 once the project is commissioned.
Right. And what is the kind of inputs that we'll be using? Is it sort of a dual fuel use? Would it have the flexibility to sort of switch between naphtha and gas? Any idea that you can
do? It is dual fuel only, but most of these configurations, since we have a surplus naphtha available at some of the refineries, we want to take this naphtha to Bina refinery so that we will get a more value addition. That is the objective. With this background, this project has been initiated by using more naphtha from our intermediaries.
And the economics, the returns that we are sort of looking at, it's the standard kind of a post-tax IRR that we have in terms of pressure. Or that study is still to be done, sir?
Generally, we don't take up any projects if the IRR is not reasonable.
Right. Got it, sir. Thank you. I'll come back if I move this. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Siddharth Chauhan from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Is it possible to give us information about what kind of plant shutdowns you have planned this year?
Hi, Siddharth. I'll share it with you. So currently, Bina Refinery is in shutdown for the month of July. Then we will have some units of Kochi Refinery going for shutdown in the month of August for 15 days. And then Mumbai Refinery, one of the CDU will go for shutdown in the at the tag end of September for a month.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Vidya Garginde from Soham Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So my question was, there were press reports suggesting that you were trying to sign up a contract with Rosneft, one of the Russian companies, for crude supply, and the discount mentioned there was about 8% to the Middle Eastern benchmark. So if you, could you give us some color on whether the discounts on Russian crudes have come down, and whether the kind of volumes you were able to, proportion of Russian crude you were able to use in Q1, will it remain at that level, or is it likely to go down because there are reports of Russia cutting their seaborne exports? So if you could give us some color on that. Thanks.
Yeah, so we are always open for any signing of term contracts with any of the suppliers, provided if commercially they give a good terms to BPCL. Yes, there were discussions are happening with Rosneft, but not yet concluded. In terms of the Russian crude discounts, as a trend-wise, compared to earlier quarter sequential basis, the discounts have been lesser during this quarter and current times. But we are not sure how the discounts will behave, on which side discounts will increase or discounts will come down. But at this point of time, comparatively, based on the sequential quarter, the Russian crude discounts are on a lower side compared to previous quarter.
So has it also, so was June less than, so is every month or so lower, or it's just the quarter was roughly similar, and what was the rough discount in Q1, some range, and what's the proportion of Russian crude used in this in Q1?
No, it all depends on the cargo to cargo. For example, respect to companies, whenever there is a need of spot cargoes, generally M-2, they will go to the market. A particular point of time, if there is no demand for that cargo, the discounts can go up. For example, if there is a good demand from the buyer side, the discounts will be on the lower side. So we cannot comment what exactly directionally is what would be the discount. So definitely it will be cheaper than the alternative crude, so where we are getting from on the Gulf side.
But did the proportion of Russian crude go up in Q1 compared to Q4?
Nick, you are saying Russian crude procurement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As a proportion of your throughput?
As of date, till June, our proportion is in a good number only, a percentage of Russian crude production. If the discount continues at this level, still we can manage to take more Russian crudes. In fact, if the crude discounts comes down, there is no good advantage of commercial advantage of taking Russian crudes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, news flow says that the PNGRB is strongly considering the regulation of oil product pipelines and planning to allow third parties to transmit the oil products through the pipelines. My question is how it will impact on our marketing of oil products, mostly on the petrol, diesel or ATF case. Do you see any kind of impact on our market share in this product, if the decision taken by the PNGRB?
We have not yet studied what is the impact of the market share. We will come back. We have not studied it, what will be the impact.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. The first thought is, what is your sense in terms of the impact of Chinese refining throughput increasing and surplus exports on the refining spreads? And do you see the Chinese demand recovery supporting higher spreads in the coming quarters? And secondly, if you can give some color in terms of when you expect Kochi PDPP as well as CGD business to generate the expected return on capital employed in terms of timeline and the kind of, you know, the profits you can generate over 2 to 3 years from CGD and the petrochemical business?
Yeah. Only for Kochi refinery petrochemicals, already we have shared, it has contributed around $0.4 to $0.5 per barrel of refining margins. The only reason for lower GRM addition on account of petrochemicals is that during this quarter, in fact last couple of quarters, due to the lower demand of petrochemicals in China, the import parity prices have been on lower side. We are expecting this trend will continue for a couple of quarters more. Once the Chinese economy revives and if the Chinese demand comes back, once the petrochemical prices go to the normal levels, definitely the margins of PDPP will go up. We are not sure how much time it will take, but definitely once the China demand goes up, the petrochemical prices will be stabilized and the margins will be improved further. Second, what is your second question?
It was on the CGD business in terms of the investments you're planning over the next 5 years. You said 16 of these GAs are in commercial operation.
Yeah.
So, what is the timeline to generate, you know, say 10-15% ROC on this investment? And so, is there any cash loss on this as of now?
So, as of now, we have already retailing our retail outlets around 1607 retail outlets. We have started selling CNG. So where we are getting a good margins. In terms of the return on investment, we have to wait for the completion of the total project. Then we'll come to know what is the total capex we have invested there and then we can work out. As of date, we are not forcing any cash losses for this business.
Okay. And one last thought I may ask. In terms of your capital allocation, especially from the rights issue and the long-term you know, investments in petrochemicals, when do you expect to be able to, you know, indicate what are the kind of commercial returns you will get on this investment, especially in the rights issue, because there is a timing issue in terms of at what price you issue, and to that extent there will be a dilution of earnings. So how do you expect to, you know, offset this dilution of earnings from this rights issue? If you can just give us thoughts on that.
Yeah, as a process, we are in the process of appointing the merchant bankers and transaction advisors. Maybe in the next couple of days, we will conclude an appointment of our transaction advisors and legal advisors. After that, we will come up with the calendar by what time we can come to the market for this rights issue. In terms of the capital allocation, already I have explained. We are working on it, which type of projects, how much capital we have to allocate from this proceeds. But definitely this entire 18,000 crore proceeds are meant for mainly for net zero ambitions, energy security and energy transition. In terms of the energy security, energy transition, definitely the returns will be in the normal course of business only. Only in terms of net zero ambitions, we may have to see what amount we have to allocate, because one is on the obligation side, we want to go for a net zero. Returns point of view, at this point of time, we are not sure what project we have to take it up. Then once we complete this allocation, then we'll come back and we'll share what type of allocation we'll keep it to the net zero and for energy transition and energy security.
Thank you very much and all the best. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving this opportunity. First question is, in terms of the Russian crude usage, if the Russian crude prices crosses $60 per barrel, would we be able to continue to make payment using the current mechanism? And would, or is there a risk that that could reduce the usage of Russian crude in our refinery?
So based on our experience, once the price is crossing beyond the threshold, we have faced a little bit payment issues earlier. Now we have to wait and see for the next cargoes when the payment dues are happening. At least for the time being, we are not forcing any problem because now more banks are ready for making the settlements. So we have to wait and see. As of date, there is no payments were pending for settlement. We have to wait and see in case really if there is any purchase price beyond the price cap, is there any issues or not.
Right, sir. Understood. Second question was about the ENP business. Where could you share more detail about the status of Mozambique? Is there any reassessment of CapEx done? And when is basically the force majeure likely to lift off? And also on the Russia side, are we sort of started to receive the dividends, or are there any payments pending there?
Only on the Mozambique side, there are some positive discussions are happening. In fact, recently two operator level committee meetings have happened. So most probably we are expecting in next 1 or 2 quarters the work may restart. But officially the main operator, lead operator, Total Energies, they have to announce after taking consensus from the operators. Yes, definitely there will be a small, there will be an increase of the project cost because there was a delay of around 3.5 years in the project. There will be an increase, but how much and what extent, what are the timelines, not yet decided, not yet finalized. Once the operator level committee, if they have finalized the project cost increase and revised timelines, so we can share that. And second, in terms of the Russia, yes, the whatever proceedings around for BPCL portion, around $130 million is pending at Russia. They are not in a position to declare the dividend. The proceedings are not moved out of Russia. Around our stake will be around $120 to $130 million.
Thank you, sir, for this clarification. We'll go back to the queue.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vikash from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to understand and confirm the accounting for LPG margins from here on. So since there is this surplus mechanism, is it correct to assume that from here on the accounting will not be more than whatever is the fair margin, and whatever is the surplus will not figure in the income statement but will be simply taken to reserves as and maybe used sometime later whenever there is a shortfall? That is first. Secondly, also wanted to ask a little bit more details on Mozambique. Maybe if you can answer this and then I can ask the Mozambique bit.
Yeah. As an accounting practice, there is no change of accounting practice. Whenever there is a positive buffer, we never take it to the revenue from operations. As a government scheme, current scheme, whenever there is a positive buffer, for example, if we are recovering more than the price, the price we never take it as a revenue from operations. This is the accounting convention we are following in the last couple of years. There is no change. And this will continue also. But the current schema for things for LPG, if there is any positive buffer, it will be outside the P&L, it will be kept outside.
Okay, and that will be used to offset if there, whenever there is a negative, that will come inside the P&L.
Yeah, right. That is the mechanism, current mechanism.
Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to check on Mozambique, so could you just remind us where were we in terms of financing, in terms of certain agreements, initial heads of agreements in terms of offtake? Will all of those be valid, or we'll have to kind of redo all of that work whenever project kind of when the project development restarts?
One is on the project financing side. Whatever project financing, it happened for $15.4 billion, as of date it is valid. They got the time extension. Now question is on the revised project cost, whatever be the number, again they have to approach all the lenders community, but positively they got good assurance of the lender community, the revised project cost, they may get the approvals. So the project financing side, as of date it is valid. Whatever required money for the project from our share, it will be drawn from the project financing side. Second, sales contracts, whatever offtake agreements, as of date it is valid. Whatever we have signed the agreement, that is valid.
Okay, and if you could remind us roughly, was each partner doing his own share of agreements, or was it being done as a consortium?
It's a consortium. Consortium, respect to buyers, they will go to the consortium and they will take that agreement.
And this was 2 trains, right? So that's roughly a little less than 10.
Yeah, as of date, 2 trains. This project is for the 2 trains, the current project.
That's a little less than 10 million tons, right? I mean, so you're looking for...
Around 11 million tons.
Okay.
6.44 into 2. So around 30.
And the duration, as you understand, once you get to, say, day zero start of the project development, is it 3 years or is it a little more than that?
We are hopeful for 4 years, 3.5 to 4 years.
3.5 to 4 years. Okay. Okay. But there has not yet been any formal announcement by Total, right?
Not yet. Okay. But we are hopeful. We are hopeful in the next couple of months, at least some announcements can come.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhaskar Chakraborty from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. You had indicated that you are looking at 1.4-1.5 lakhs of CapEx over the next 5 years. Does it mean that from next fiscal, we are likely to see 25,000-30,000 crore of annual CapEx?
Yeah. The major peak CapEx will start not from the next year, but 2025-2026 onward, you can see the huge CapEx. Current year, our target is 10,000 crore, but we are expecting it will cross beyond 10,000 crore. But next year also, it is not to at that level of 25,000 crore, somewhere around 15,000-17,000 crore. That is what our expectation. But to 2025-2026 onward, the peak CapEx, it is going to start. Mainly for the petrochemical complex, the year three will be the major CapEx we have to incur. This year and next year, the CapEx allocation will be lesser only for petrochemical projects. But year three will be the major CapEx we are going to incur, year three and four onwards.
So does that mean that there'll be a large accretion in debt coinciding with this? Because this is almost 3x the annual CapEx run rate you have had in the past.
Yeah. So that is the reason some portion of our requirement we are planning for the rights issue. Definitely, we have to go for the borrowings. I'm not saying that we cannot go for the borrowing, but the debt levels, our aspiration should be keep it at a lesser leverage level, not crossing beyond certain level. Maybe our aspiration will be around 0.8, 0.9 level of debt equity even after completing of these projects on standalone basis.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivekanand Subbaraman from Ambit Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question with respect to the dividend payout or the philosophy with respect to dividend payouts. Last year, I understand the profitability was depressed due to dividend due to the, you know, the fuel prices being frozen and abnormal energy situation. So how should we think about the dividends considering your CapEx plans, which are substantially elevated, especially from year two and year three?
Yeah. We have a dividend distribution policy that is at least 30% of the our endeavor always is to 30% of the profit should be distributed as a dividend or at 5% of the net worth. That is our endeavor every year. We try to give returns to the shareholders in terms of dividend distribution at least minimum of 30%. Even by taking up this much of large CapEx for the next 5 years around 1.5 lakh crore, we are still hopeful we can distribute that level as per the dividend policy. If there is any change in the policy, then we can communicate. As of date, our endeavor always to comply with our policy.
Okay. Just one last from my end. As far as your CapEx is concerned, because it is spread out, would it mean that the rights issue money collection will also be spread out, or has that not yet been decided?
As of date, the entire exercise yet to start. We have just in the process of appointing our transaction advisors and merchant bankers. So once they based on their workings, then accordingly, we can work out whether what is the timelines, whether it is a single time or multiple times we have to receive. We have not yet concluded anything on this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Can you give the exact percentage of Russian crude used in all three refineries and the discount which we have got to the reference prices?
Yeah. Once again, I'm saying the same thing. We cannot give any exact numbers. I can give what percentage of crude our refineries can process because everything depends on what is the availability of Russian crude based on the timelines. For example, for X period of time, for example, particular month, if I need some X cargoes, if the market is available, then I can take X cargoes and process. So many of the times, our requirement and market supply may not match. So we cannot give exactly what would be the Russian crude we can process. But on an average, directionally, we can take around 30% to 40% all three refineries put together, we can process Russian crude also.
But at least you can give what you have done in last quarter, sir. No, that is my point.
No. I'm giving the range, you know. So this particular range we can work on.
And what was the discount?
Discount is a commercial term. Generally, we don't disclose what our discounts we got.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is on the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time, sir. A few questions surrounding the rights issue. I mean, when this 30,000 crores was allocated in the budget, it appeared that probably some part of the losses was indirectly getting funded through the rights issue, at least when the government provided. Now that we have indirectly recovered a good amount of the losses that is last year, can there be a rethink whether this money is required? That is one. Second is that while we have said couple of purposes which this rights issue, which is the energy, net zero energy transition and energy security, can you give us a specific split of amounts that you already have in mind for this? Because why this question I'm asking is energy security. In the past, we've not really had great successes in terms of our exploratory investments. Though we have exploratory, but at least in terms of the capital returns that is either from a Mozambique, which was supposed to come in 17, 18, or even a Wahoo, we've not had much of an investment. So trying to understand, rather we have focus more on the downstream and probably let ONGC and OVL do the energy security part. So just some thoughts on this point would be helpful.
Yeah, this is 18,000 crore rights issue, whether we need it or not. To answer your question, definitely we need, because such a large capex investment projects we are having, expecting around 1.5 lakh crore. We don't want to leverage ourselves at a large extent, so we want to moderate our leverage. That is the reason we need money. Secondly, in terms of the capital allocation, whether exploration may, why do you want to put more money? We are not going for any new blocks or new investments. We have two major investment blocks, one is in Brazil and one is in Mozambique. That has crossed the exploration stage to development stage. So we are continuing these projects only. It requires a large amount of investments. That is one reason some part of capital allocation will happen for these two blocks under energy security. Energy transition, you know, almost 25 years we got the licensing. This requires a huge capital requirement. So under energy transition, some amount of capital definitely we need to allocate for the CGD business. In terms of scope 1, scope 2 emission reductions, we have a plan by 2040 how much capital outlay is required. Somebody roughly, we need around 90 to 1 lakh crore. We are not at finalized what is the exact amount, what type of project. But the timelines are around next 15 years we have to work towards. We have to start the journey in terms of the net zero, scope 1 and scope 2. Some amount definitely we have to allocate for these projects. Exact project-wise allocation, we are in the process of working on it. At the time of rights issue application, we will share that information.
Can there be a fungibility of the funds that you'll raise for your petrochemical plants also, or is it necessarily going to only those that you will mention in the rights issue?
That's what I'm saying. We are not yet concluded whether how much amount we can give it to petrochemical project also, or do we need to go for a project financing. We are yet to conclude on that. Which route we have to go?
A rough timeline for the raise, sir. I mean, next couple of quarters you want to conclude or?
Shortly we will communicate what will be the timelines.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshvardhan Dole for his closing comments.
Firstly, I'd like to thank the BPCL management for giving IIFL an opportunity to host the call. We really appreciate, sir. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely thank you for participating in this call. In case any of your questions are unanswered, you can either drop in a line to me or to the BPCL Investor Relations team, and I'm sure they will look forward to address those issues. Sir, any last remarks that you would like to make?
Thank you, Mr. Harsh. On behalf of the BPCL team, I thank all the investors for taking part in this con call. Also, I thank IIFL Securities for organizing this call. We look forward to meeting after the next quarter's results. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.